Blog Talk Radio.
Tuning in, we're here with I was trying something new to try to mute out, and I just got a text that you cannot hear me, so I guess I cannot do that. But anyhow, thank you for tuning in. Amen. It's good to know that anyone who belongs in Christ becomes a new person. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun. Amen. Isn't it good to know that God gives us a new chapter in our life? Amen, when we belong to him. So as we move forward, we'd like to thank you for tuning in. We're New Beginnings Ministry. And for those of you that called in, if you'd like to call in, we're an interactive Bible study. So if you'd like to call in, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. You can call in and you can participate when the speaker opens up the mic. And also, if you would like to hear this message, just share it with a friend. Amen. Minister to someone else. Amen. Because I'm sure that you're going to be blessed this evening by the word of God. So if you would like to listen to this message and share it with someone, go to the archives, go into Blog Talk Radio, then type in, "We Can Begin Again." Amen. We Can Begin Again. And you can pull up the archive and listen to this message again, and we thank you for that. As we move forward, we are going into Long Island, New York. We have a first-time speaker that's coming on, and it's Pastor Jared Kane. Amen. 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 And I'm looking forward to what God is going to share with us through this young man. Amen. This man of God. We're going to have to just give you an information for those of you who are listening, first-time listeners, and even those that have never heard him before. We have Minister Herman on the other end. She's going to give you some history, a little brief history, and the next voice you hear will be Pastor Jared Haynes. Amen. Minister Herman, are you there?
Yes, I am, Dr. Clay. God bless you. God bless everyone on the line. I'm so proud to introduce this man of God. He is my godson, but I'm going to give you a little brief bio of this man. His name is Elder Jared Gerard Haynes. He's a youth and young adult pastor of the Mount Calvary Holy Church of Huntington, New York, as well as an independent producer, music producer, writer, rapper, singer, and brand consultant. He began preaching at the age of 6, dedicated his youth to education as he has completed his master's in higher education while maintaining honors on every level. Elder Jared praises God for his gifts and teaches humbleness as the way of God's heart. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has set me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Luke 4:18-19. And without further ado, I give you Elder Jared Gerard Haynes.
So much for having me on tonight. Minister Herman gave y'all my middle name. That was special. I hope that was nice. We're gonna talk about that later, Minister Herman. Thank you so much to New Beginnings and Elder John and Dr. Suzanne as well for just having me tonight on the call. I'm so glad and so excited to be with you on tonight. If I may just begin with a brief word of prayer, and then we'll get into the word on tonight. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for bringing us all here tonight at this appointed time, that we have all come together to eat on your word, Lord God, that it may give us life. We thank you for this bread of life. We ask you to draw us closer to you in every way. Help us to have a relationship where we give unto you as much as you give unto us, Lord God. Mm. That is our goal, and we thank you. We ask that somebody be blessed by this message. Chains be loose. We speak against any spirit that is unlike you, the spirit of insanity, spirit of depression, the spirit of anxiety has got to go right now in Jesus' name. Signs, wonders, miracles, and deliverance shall take place. And we thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The introduction has already went forth. My name is Pastor Jared Haynes. I'm from Mount Calvary Holy Church of Huntington, where I am the youth and young adult pastor. Our senior pastor is Pastor Dawn Mixon, who I know you all should be acquainted with very well, as she is here every third Wednesday. Praise the Lord. Tonight's scripture, we're going to go to a very familiar passage, one verse, Psalm chapter 119, verse 105. Psalm chapter 119, 105. And the word is simple. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, it's interesting because this word is actually going to give you a little background on me so we can become more familiar with one another real quick on tonight. Growing up, I was always a very social child, but I feared things like water and heights and different things on that order, spiders and things. And as I grew older, I started to break a lot of my fears, bless the Lord. So my mother loves to tell a story how when I was a baby, she was going to put me in a tub, but I didn't like water so much that when she put me in a tub, I screamed like somebody was cutting my head off. Like I just had a very big thing with the water. And amazingly enough, I want to say I'm Michael Phelps. I'm not the best swimmer, but I have conquered my fear of water. I have no problem with getting in a pool. It's okay. Heights was another big thing. I never did roller coasters and different things like that. Heights always got to me, but then all of a sudden in college, I became friends with someone who was into skiing. So I ended up going to several different places and going to several different mountains and different things like that. And I was able to stand at the highest peak of the world in France, in Annecy, and I looked down and I was able to get through that. My mother was always surprised as I got older and I was doing these things. I went white water rafting. She'd be like, my boy, my child went white water rafting, because she just couldn't. She just couldn't believe it because, you know, I was doing, as for lack of a better phrasing, the things that the other pigment does. She just couldn't believe that her child was doing these things. Well, one time I went with a few of my friends, my friend Kyle and a few others, to Mammoth Cave. And when we got to Mammoth Cave, they offered us two choices, me and the group that I was with. They said that, and when it comes to this cave, you can either take the 90-minute family tour, which I was like, I don't really want to be in here for an hour and a half, but I'd do that. Or you can take the 6-hour wild cave tour. I said, absolutely no. I'm not going in no dark cave for 6 hours. And my other pigmented, as we said, friends, Kyle and them, they were like, we're going to do the 6-hour tour, which includes crawling on your belly through cracks and in tunnels less than 20 inches wide in length. And this was something that I didn't want to do, even with my newfound bravery. I looked into the cave and I saw nothing, and I said, well, I'm going to hang out at the resort, and you all can just go on your cave adventure. So they all went through their cave adventure and different things like that. They prepared themselves, and after the tour, we had decided that we would, you know, go eat dinner. So we decided we would go eat dinner. So when they finished, everybody's at the van and everybody's, you know, there and prepared to go eat. And as we're all getting in the van, one of the leaders say of the tour says, what happened to, we're missing somebody. And we didn't even realize that a friend of mine named Kyle was gone. He wasn't there. He wasn't with the group after they had did the 6-hour tour. You know, they took the precautions of safety was taken and it was enforced. All the guys had to be with buddies at all times, for instance. Everybody was in a buddy system. They were connected to someone. But at a break in the tour, my friend Kyle had taken off his backpack to get a candy bar. You see, at a place during the 6-hour tour, Kyle let his appetite take him off course. They got right around the corner, not 60 seconds away, when Kyle had realized he left his backpack on the ground behind him. So here was Kyle, and Kyle had to turn around to go get his backpack. And as he had did that, they had got right around the corner, not just 60 seconds away, when he realized he couldn't get back to where the group was because he had a helmet with the light on, but he had smashed the bulb as soon as he'd gotten back to the bag, and it was frightened because he had nowhere to go. He didn't know where he was. He was in, somebody imagine tonight, just for a brief second, I don't want to cause you no anxiety or no pressure. Somebody imagine tonight just being in a cave, not knowing where you are, in the complete dark, with no light, by yourself. Here's my friend Kyle in a cave, and Kyle, who had turned around to get his backpack and couldn't get back, was now frightened, and he couldn't, to the point where he was petrified. He couldn't even shout for help? Anybody ever been in a place where you've been so fearful that you couldn't even scream? Anybody ever been there before where you felt so hurt or so broken that you couldn't even get a call out for help? He felt around in the darkness for an opening, but he couldn't find a way out on his own. No matter how much he felt around in the cave, he felt no opening. After a few minutes, he was able to just shout, and he just started shouting and screaming, but no one came. Anybody ever got to the point where everything just bubbled up, and you just started shouting and screaming and just wishing somebody would come, but yet you felt alone?
Hello.
I'm going to discuss the cave experience tonight. Because after a while, he said he just curled up into a ball against the cave wall. He was holding his knees against his chest, crying softly. He was completely alone, not knowing where he was, and it was totally pitch dark.
My God.
If I was Kyle, I could imagine what I would want most would be a light, a map, or even a tour guide.
Mm-hmm.
Our scripture this evening, in Psalm 119, verse 105, says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto our path." It is to remind us of how we need God, of how we need God's word in order to have any type of direction.
Yeah.
Let's put ourselves in Kyle's shoes for a moment. Has anyone ever been on some type of adventure in the dark? I don't know if you've ever been to a haunted house or any type of trail maybe, or different place where the lighting wasn't right, and you needed somebody who had a lamp, somebody who had a lantern to help guide your way. I don't know if you've ever been in that place, but if you have, you realize that the person with the lantern is not there to light the entire path, but rather to light every step.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture saying to us tonight, the Lord said, "I'll be a lamp unto your feet." But some of us get so focused or so distracted, rather, by where we're going that we just want to see what's beyond where the light is lighting our path. See, we want to know what's at the end of the cave so much. We want to know what's at the end of the tunnel so bad that we get distracted and we stop looking at the next step that God has already lit for us. So what many of us do is, while God is holding the lantern and he's lighting our steps and he's showing us which way to go, he's walking with us and he's talking with us, some of us just get anxious. We want to know what's around the corner. We want to know what's to the left and the right of us. And we step outside of the light thinking that we can hurry ourselves out of this cave. Some of us have been going through something so much that in order to get out of it, we decided to go our own direction, take our own path, and make our own choices for trying to get out of things that God was trying to direct us through the entire time.
Hmm.
If someone's directing you with a lantern and they're lighting your path and you decide that you want to step in front of that person, so now you've completely put yourself in the dark because the one who holds the light is waiting for you to get back in step. But Michael Jackson was one of my favorite artists. He was. The minister Michael once said in a song, he said, "Billie Jean is not my lover." And in this music video, there were steps. And every time Michael Jackson would dance on a step, the step would light up. And the many of us, instead of reenacting this video and stepping in the steps God has already lit for us, we're stepping on dim places. We're stepping into dark places. We're stepping into places that God never intended for us to go.
My God.
And the lantern is not enough to show you how to get out of the cave. It's enough to show you what you have to climb over or get under step by step. God said, as long as we keep his word, he will be the God, he will be our God and a light unto our feet. He will be a God and a light unto our feet. First we need to understand that God is lighting our steps. He has not lit the entire cave, as we said. We are surrounded by darkness. We start to feel as if God is taking too long. And somewhere during the cave experience, we become anxious, and that's when we start stepping in front of God, like we said. Now we're jumping the gun. We're trying to go before the one who holds the light and knows the direction for getting out. We become so focused on getting out that we've missed the blessing of going through. Anybody ever been so focused on getting out of something that you missed the lesson that God intended for you to get on going through? See, some of us haven't gotten out of what we're in because we're not catching on to what God's been trying to tell us the entire time. Some of us are still stuck in this cave because the lesson God is intending for us to learn in the through, we aren't learning because all we care about is the out. But God said that there's a blessing in the through that I'm trying to give to you.
Yeah.
Come on. Is what we learn. Trusting God is what we learn in the through. Caves have dips and dives, and we would have no idea how to get over or around anything unless God is guiding us through. Some of us have a moment like Kyle. My friend Kyle, where we stop following the guide and go off path because we left something that we thought we had to go back for. See, my friend Kyle left his backpack behind, and he felt like he had to go back for the backpack because not only did he want his backpack, but it contained his appetite. You see, some things have been an appetite for us that have distracted us from what God is trying to give us. Some of us haven't been able to sit down at the table God's prepared for us and for our enemies because we're so busy trying to get to that candy bar like my friend Kyle. See, when we're on a path, that book bag was something he should have left behind. Some of us have things we should have left behind on this walk with God, and we keep going back to get them, and it takes us off the path.
Yeah.
Just tell yourself tonight, leave it behind. It's not worth getting lost trying to go back for something God intended for you to leave in the dark. God's been trying to separate us from people, from things and ideas that will do anything to distract us. He's been trying to detach us from this baggage. He's been trying to detach us from this relationship and that person and those burdens. We find ourselves missing it enough to abandon our walk for something that we should leave where it is. Mind you, Kyle had such an appetite and a sweet tooth that he had to go back for this book bag that contained these candy bars, but we were already at the van waiting to go to dinner. And that's the problem. Our appetite often leads us to things that are no good for us. Our appetite often leads us to things that give us temporary satisfaction, and they're distracting us from the point of the table that God has prepared already. He was sacrificing dinner for a snack. He was sacrificing actual fulfillment for a touch. He was sacrificing that. Other pursuits eventually crowd out the things of God, and gradually the physical becomes more important than the spiritual. Becomes more important than the Bible. Movies are more appealing than church. Parties are more important than prayer. And things on earth are more important than treasures in heaven. It happens to us. And we find that the things of God just don't have the appeal that they once did. And we start feeling this way. Now, if you have been at this for a while, are you not as into it as you once were? That is the question to ask ourselves. We've been saved so long that some of us have lost the zeal. We've lost the passion, and that's not a good sign because that's how our appetites are able to distract us so easily.
That's good.
My God.
If you are not feeling well, you go see the doctor. One of the first things he or she will ask you is, how is your appetite? A hungry person is a healthy person. Do not have the hunger for the word of God and the things of God. It would indicate that we are not strong spiritually. As we look at the early church, the church that turned their world upside down, the Bible says of them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Acts chapter 2:42. Acts 2:42 says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. The Bible doesn't say that they just went to church, read the Bible, and prayed. It said that they continued steadfastly. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
It means they did so with a passion, with dedication, and with commitment. That is the way we need to come to the word of God and when it comes to the things of God. It is the attention that we give. It is the attention with intention. We must have attention with intention. Many of us give attention mm-hmm. to things, but we don't have the right intentions for it.
That's good.
Have been going to the church building and to said churches, and we're giving attention to the building, but we don't have any intentions on pleasing God while we're there. Many of us have been given attention to things of God, but don't have the intention of lifting God in the process.
Mm-hmm.
We must have attention with intention.
Mm-hmm.
I know many of us are wondering what happened to Kyle. I don't want to keep you all night. We got to get back to Kyle. Last we saw him, my friend was curled up in a corner of a cave because he went back for a book bag that he should have left where it was in the first mm-hmm. place. And now he's stuck. Now he's stuck. He's accepted mm-hmm. where he was because he feels like he's stuck. The thing about this, before we're going to get right to Kyle, but about being steadfast is, now that I think about the early church, thank you, Lord, is the important part of how the church did when we said that the church was steadfast, when we say that God is calling for us to be immovable, always abounding. What it means is nothing should move us. We'll get there in 1 second. So here's Kyle. He was alone and lost for 10 hours, y'all, 10 hours. My friend was in this cave for 10 hours by himself. The park rangers had to get organized. They sent out two rescue teams. One started at the beginning of the tour and the other at the end. When they found him, he wouldn't take a step without making sure his hand was on the ranger. He learned through that situation that I will not move unless the guide moves first. I have nowhere to go. I will not turn my head. I will not go back, left, front, unless I can feel where the guide is going. Mm-hmm. God is calling for us to sum up. He's calling for us to put our hands on him. God is saying, hold on to me. God is saying, keep your hand on me, and I shall lead mm-hmm. and direct you into all the right paths. He's going to take a step. Kyle would not budge from where he was unless he could see the steps that the God was giving him. That's how we need to be with God's direction. We need to have an I'm not budging type of attitude. The church used to have an I'm not budging attitude. Anybody remember? I came up in this church. The church had an I'm not budging attitude. But somewhere we have confused forgiveness with acceptance. Somewhere, the church decided that forgiveness changed to acceptance. So now we're accepting things into the church, and when we once were unmovable, when we once were unable to budge, we are now moving and making things acceptable that we can forgive but should never have accepted.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be like 1 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15:58, that says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Yes.
By the church becoming more accepting, we're doing a lot of churching in vain.
Yes.
Becoming accepting of sin that we should forgive and then correct. See, the problem is we don't like to get involved in correction. When the truth is that love comes with correction.
Yes.
So if we love each other, we should accept each other's. So if we love each other, we should not accept each other's sins. We should correct each other in love.
Mm-hmm.
Keyword, in love.
That's right.
Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And the problem is, a lot of us, instead of correcting each other in love, we think that we have to do tough love. We have to be harsh with one another. And then we get things like church hurt. And then people going to a different church to church because their church hurt because of a harsh word, because anger's been stirred up, because we forgot the key to correction is love. We realize that not only did Kyle fail to follow the guide, that there was a buddy system involved. So Kyle's buddy is also at fault for not noticing that his partner left the group. Normally, as buddies, we do one of three things. As buddies, one of another, as brothers and sisters, one of another in Christ, we tend to do one of these three things. Some of us do what Kyle's buddy did, and we are so focused on our own walk, on our own walk, that we forget that we are supposed to be walking together. Been in that place where you felt like you were so focused on what God wanted you to do that you forgot that there was an entire body that you're supposed to be moving together with. It amazes me how so many churches are doing so many different things where there is only one God and one body. Imagine if we all recognized that again and came back together. Buddy, many of us get so focused on our own cave experience. We get so focused on getting out of our own situation. We get so focused on making sure we're doing what God wants us to do that we're just forgetting about those around us. Another thing we do as buddies is we connect with other buddies that have the same sweet tooth we do. Now, somebody, instead of prayer partners, we have sin partners. See, some of us are only friends with people because we share the same sin. Some of us only have best friends because the entire time, the only thing we had in common was our sin. So imagine if Kyle's buddy, instead of not recognizing he left, if Kyle's buddy said to himself, wait, Kyle, where you going? And Kyle said, oh, I'm going back to get my book bag. It has my candy bars in it. And Kyle's buddy had a sweet tooth and enjoyed the same candy bar. He liked the Mounds and the Reese's and the Snickers. And he said to Kyle, I'm coming with you because I want to eat the Snickers too. And that's the issue. Some of us become so comfortable walking away from our walk with God, leaving the steps that are already lit for us, because we have somebody else who is of like-mindedness and connected to our sin. Some of us have formed relationships built off sin. We form marriages built off sin. We form companionship built off sin. Some of us right now are in places with people that we do not like, but because we are covering each other's sin, we have to remain friends.
My God.
We have sin partners. And then too many times we link up with people where the only thing we have in common is the sin. And then there's the third thing that a buddy can do, and what we all should do, is not allow them, like Kyle's buddy should not have allowed Kyle to stray off of the path. We must each encourage each other in the Lord to remain in the will, remain in the light, and to keep hold of the God. Encourage each other. So many times we've allowed each other to backslide, to get out of line, when all somebody needed was an encouraging word or a reminder that anything outside of this is darkness, and right here is the light.
That's right.
Amen.
I'd help Kyle stand. Kyle would not let go of the guy. Not only did Kyle want to follow the guy, but he would not let go of him. God needs those of us who are not going to let go. God's looking for those of us who say, where you lead, I will follow. The Rangers responded to Kyle's missing, just like God responds to us when we are lost. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He leaves the sheep for the one. He goes to find the one. Through every cave, I know he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. I know that regardless of what is going on, God will always come find me. I find it interesting. Side note, I find it interesting how a lot of times, especially now that the church is so heavily involved in mental health, We like to ask people, you know, how'd you get to the place you are? And people often say, well, I found myself. And I always question the phrase, I found myself in that person, because to me it sounds like you must be lost, because I have no idea where I'm going. So if I found myself, please tell me where I brought myself. If I found myself in a place of despair, where am I bringing myself to if that's where I was in the first place? The problem is we cannot forget God in this special time as this. God is calling for us to remember that our path is already lit, because the world would have us to believe that we have options. Jesus, read the Bible and follow it all the days of our lives. You got the one who wrote the book that guides you through your entire life. Some of us, however, will get away from God. Right now we're experiencing a great falling away and get away from the church. And you'll rarely look at the Bible. They rarely look at the Bible and then one day realize they're lost and will be like Kyle. We'll be lost in a dark world with nowhere to turn. See, that's the thing. That's the thing about Kyle that kind of sums up what we get into is when Kyle went back for his book bag, he thought he could get back because he had his own helmet with a light on it. So when he went back to get his bag, he turned with the book bag and he smashed his light bulb. And many of us feel like because we came up in the church and we do the prayer meetings and the Bible studies and different things like that, that sometimes maybe we have the authority to do things that we should wait for God to give us the strength to handle. Sometimes we feel like we're more holier than thou, as they would say, and that our righteousness is not like filthy rags and we have the power. And then we live, and then we're in a place in the church where people speak out of turn when it comes to God, and they like to say, thus saith the Lord, when really it was thus saith Jared, or they like to tell you that God told them to say something to you, but really they're talking about themselves, felt like they should say something to you. That's why discernment is so important in the kingdom.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Kyle thought that he could get back off his own light, as if it wasn't the God's light in the first place. So they could get back on his own light. That's how we ended up in this situation. But I think the greatest part of the story is when Kyle got out of the cave. When Kyle got out of the cave with his hand on the guide, never letting go, he gets out of the cave and he screams for joy and he's overly excited because he made it through and now he got out. And he learned so many lessons in the through, like we said. He learned so many lessons in the through. In the through, he did not allow his focus on getting out to tamper with the lessons of the through. And then he got out, and somebody said to Kyle, where's your book bag? Kyle said, I don't have it. Isn't it something how the very thing that caused all of this trouble was still left exactly where he went back to get it from? Because when the guide came and found him in the dark, that book bag, that appetite, that thing that God has been trying to separate us from the whole time, lost every bit of it is important. Because the only thing that was important was being attached to the guide. I remember growing up, and most people's homes, you don't really see it anymore. There would always be the poem of the footprints in the sand. And as a child, I would get confused by the picture because I would be like, I know the song, he walks with me and he talks with me. And I know the song and all of this, but then I look at this picture and there's only one set of footprints. And I couldn't comprehend the poem as a child, and I'm trying to figure it out. So I'm like, if there's only one set of footprints, what's interesting is God, that means that the Lord had already gone before me. The grace and mercy had already gone before me. And that's the great thing, is that if you let the Lord lead, that means he's already gone before. That means that if there's only one set of footprints and I'm walking as well, that God is requiring us to simply just walk in the same footsteps that he's already there, because he's already went before us. The path is not just laid, but we know that every step is safe because the Lord has already went before us. He's already stepped in that spot. He's already made sure that there's no issue with where we're stepping, where we're jumping, where we're climbing, what we're going under, what we're going under, because he's made the path clear already. Having a cave-like experience, and there's too many different sets of footprints. There's too many different sets of footprints, and when we come back, we're getting confused. We don't know which way to go because we've created a maze for ourselves. But God said, all you have to do is follow the light. Find the light. Walk in the light, the beautiful light. God is saying that not only is it easy to get back on the light, it's not easy to stay on the path, but it's easy to find it because it's the only path that's lit. Light will drive us out darkness. But until we realize we have to get back to the light, my friend Kyle. But thank God Kyle was saved. Thank God Kyle was delivered. Thank God God didn't leave me in darkness. Thank God God didn't leave him in a place where it was just him and his appetite. Because if you realize, he was there with what he thought he needed the entire time. Some of us have been in the dark with the book bag that contained what we think we need. We thought we needed that person. We thought we needed this. And it's not until that we feel that loneliness that we realize nothing can take the place of being connected to God. Somebody some good news tonight. And that the same God who loves us when we're with him in his word will love us even when we're lost. He shows us his love constantly throughout his word. Where you'll be in darkness, this Bible, this word will be the light. This book is the roadmap to heaven. Live by the words and you'll never stray from the path. Ignore these words and we will wander far away from God's plan for our life. Even better, the author of this book will travel with you. Look for him. Listen to him. The one who wrote this book is the one who loves you most. And I thank you so much for having me tonight. May God richly, richly bless your life. And I pray that you make it through every cave-like experience with victory and have learning the lesson and the blessing of the through. God bless you all.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you so much for such a powerful word, an enlightening word of reminding us that when we are in the dark, you know, that God has that light. You know, all we have to do is follow that light. So thank you so much. Any comments? We're going to have any comments that all the mics are open. Mm-hmm. Any comments for Pastor Garrett Haynes?
Okay.
All mics are open.
Yeah, I'd like to say that oftentimes we are in the dark because we haven't read, we're not following God's word, and we find ourselves lost, misdirected, and God has given us mentors which, in the capacity of a light to follow. And sometimes we turn from that, and the education we received as a child in the church from our parents, sometimes we turn away from that, and we find ourselves lost. There are children who become teenagers, and they get themselves involved in drugs and criminal activity. But you have to stay focused, and the words you've been taught from the Bible, our parents, and I speak strongly of the Bible because anyway, some of our parents don't know the word. But anyway, we know the word cause from reading, you know. But needless to say, we can oftentimes get lost and make the most ridiculous mistakes. And there's consequences for everything. But anyway, there's forgiveness. And nobody's perfect. And you have to be, in Romans 3:23, for all is sin and come short of the glory of God. But you have to attach yourself to a mentor who knows the word, who's going to serve as that beacon of light and move forward. But we have a choice in the direction we go. But I thought it was a very powerful word there that was given today. Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you, Pastor. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
God bless you. This is Elder Showers from Albion, Michigan.
God bless you.
Awesome job that you spoke tonight. My heart is for the young people who are being disconnected right now from God, from walking in his way, for doing his will. And this is very interesting. You talked about the book bag, because children are always carrying book bags or something, a phone or something. And you said that they left it and went back to it and then can't find your way back. And this is what my heart goes out right now for the world, because it seems like they're getting lost. They're getting separated. They're getting focused on something else. They're compromising. And I love the illustration. Oh, my God. I love it. I want to be able to tell the young people. I tape this on my phone so that I can let the group listen to it. And what will you choose over God? What will you leave God? Against God, you know. So I thank God for your illustration tonight. I thank God for your perseverance. I thank you, God, for your study. I just ask, God, that he will continue to replenish and restore and refresh in you, that he will give you new ideas and to speak his word in clarity, truth, and understanding, that somebody needs to hear this. And I thank God that Amon invited me tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Say thank you for the word tonight. It was awesome. God bless you.
God bless you.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening, everybody.
There he is.
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are y'all doing tonight?
So blessed. So
I was appalled by the message that the young man was preaching, even though I did not get to hear all of it because I had an issue I was dealing with here at the house. But I was really, really blessed on my way home from work to hear him speaking. Now, it's kind of funny because I was listening, and I can tell he's a young man, but I can also tell he's a wise man. He's a wise young man. Listen here, brother, I don't know. This is the first time I've heard you speak, and I don't know much about you, but I want to hear you again. I want you to be on here again, time that I can catch the full message, so I can hear everything you got to say. Because I'm like the pastor just said, I really love the illustration that you were given about the book bag and the fact that it was left behind and went back to get it. You know, a lot of times we mess up when we go back, you know, and I was listening to your word as God being a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, you know, and we got to keep forward walking in the light. So, but thank you, young man, for that message, what I got to hear of it. Elder Clay, thank you for inviting him, and just God bless you, man, and keep pressing. Keep walking in the light. Keep pressing toward the mark of the higher calling. Keep going, man. Let me ask you a question. How old are you?
I am 34 years old.
Okay. Good deal.
34 years young.
34 years young. Right?
That's right, young.
But you are. You just continue on that journey, man. I mean, we need so many more young men to step up. A lot of our young men have turned away from the faith. They've turned away from God. And you could be a big inspiration, man. You could be a big – and I hope you are. Wherever you live, I hope you are.
He sure is.
An inspiration.
He sure is.
So you have my blessing that you probably don't need, but I'm giving it to you anyway.
I'll take it,
to keep going, my brother. Keep going, okay? God bless you. God bless you, and may God keep you as our prayer. Amen.
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 Good evening, everyone. Sister Edna, thank you so much for extending the invitation. Minister Hain, as usual, amazing job. My ear pods were acting up. So I know you were reading from Psalms, but I didn't get the complete scripture.
Psalms 115.
115. And then also you spoke from Corinthians 4. Thank you so much, sir. Have a wonderful evening. Always a pleasure.
I love
always a teachable moment. I thank you so much.
Good evening. Good evening. This is Mother Gloria and Jared. That's my grandson.
Grandma.
Wow, you make me want to shout. You know, God used you, and he always does. And you've done a marvelous job. My phone went out, too, so I had to go and come back on. But It was, you did an amazing job. Continue to let God to use you in the way that he does. And we just love you. And I'm like the pastor, whoever that was there, that Elder Clay would invite you to come back because you always bring on. He brought you there. Leave animal call unto me. And every time he come, he bring us a good word. So you just get tuned up. Because matter of fact, I got a date for you for a couple months from now. So I'll look at your calendar. God bless you, Jared. Love
praise
you
Lord.
Much.
Love
allow
you.
God to use you. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Any more comments?
Yes, I just want to say I'm proud of my godson. He's my godson, but when he's in this office, he's Pastor Jared. And I thank God for your word today, sir. I'm telling you, when you talked about the appetite, and, you know, if we would walk in the steps of Jesus, he's already prepared the way for us. And I'm going to take that because those steps he's already made. So if we would walk, follow him, and walk in that same step, we wouldn't have any problem. Not really, because he's already went before us. I thank you for this word. There were so many nuggets in this, so many nuggets. And I thank God that it nourished us. It provoked us to always follow the light of Christ. And don't get, you know, distracted. And it's easy, but it's not, you know what? It's necessary for our lives to continue to walk in the light. Like you said, that beautiful light. God bless you, sir. I've been hearing this young man ever since he was a little kid. Now he's old. I tell him he's old. He's old now, y'all. He's old. But I thank God for you, sir. Love you.
I love you, too. I'm still young. I love you, too.
Yeah.
Right. Don't claim that oldness.
Don't let them do that to you.
Season.
Any more comments? I know I received a text from Chris Harper. He was trying to get in. I know you've been listening.
Oh, you're ready to go.
Are you there?
You're ready to go.
Amen. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I'm out of Buffalo.
Yeah, like my uncle said, my name's Chris Harper. Me and Jared, man. Me and Jared grew up together, man. I don't know if Jared recognized my voice, but we grew up together out in New York. And I'll be honest. I came on to the message a little late, but when I did, like instantly, with me being part of the younger generation, you know, what I mean, it's kind of different how you have to relay that message of God and belief and faith and trust. So it has to be something relatable and transparent that the younger generation can understand. Like, you know, you have to break that down and you have to reach that barrier where it's been built up for us to, you know, kind of shield out certain things. So, you know, when you speak, it's like it has to be relatable. You know what I mean? Instantly I could hear that in your voice, your tone, the message you was bringing. So it kind of grabbed me. You know, me, I grew up in church. You know, my family is a church family. I grew up underneath the word. And it's like sometimes when I veer away from church, you know, God is always in me, no matter how far I am away from anything. So just to hear somebody I grew up with following, you know, what God has for him and, you know, how he feels about it, you know, it's inspiring to me. So I appreciate it. You know what I mean? I want to give my congrats to you. Congratulations. Send my love and energy from Buffalo, New York.
Praise God.
Love you,
family. Yeah.
And Chris happened in the music as well.
Yes.
There's very same things that you do in terms of music. Any other comments?
I do have a question.
I
have a question. There was a woman said that she did tape the hour, and she was going to play it for a group. Is there any way that we could get that she can send the message to us as well? Because when I'm working out, I would love to listen to this again.
You can go into Blog Talk Radio. When you go on your computer, go into Blog Talk Radio and then type in We Can Begin Again, and you can hear the message from out of the archives.
Yeah.
Okay,
you have
so go to Blog Talk Radio.
There's maybe about 600 messages on there. So just go, you know, look for Jared, Pastor Jared Haynes, and just play it, and you can record it. You can record it on whatever device that you need.
Yes, and I'll record it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. You're quite welcome.
Thank God.
Any
for
other
that.
Comments? Any other comments? I see Bishop, are you there? I see your number.
Yes, sir, I am.
I didn't know if you wanted to make a comment.
Yes.
I just wanted to say to the young man to be encouraged. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. And know that just because you preach the word just the way you preached it, that the devil's going to come at you. But don't fall for it. Because anytime we come with a word that's meant and that's a blessing, believe me, the devil comes at you. But we bind backlash now in Jesus' name. But I want to tell
Amen.
You, young man, be encouraged. I came on late because I was on my Bible study. But what I heard, I enjoyed. And so I just want to say be encouraged and continue to allow God to use you. Because one thing I'll tell you, I learned, age ain't got nothing to do with nothing when it comes to God. God can be who you please and give you the wisdom that you need to speak to who you want to. Age ain't got nothing to do with it, because if God has called you to speak and God has called you to preach and to pastor, then you do what God has told you to do. But I just want to say be encouraged. And again, I want to say to you, cuz, thank you so much for this platform, you and your wife. I don't know if you all realize how much of a blessing it is, but I know I've shared the information with other people, and they've told me how much of a blessing this is. And so I just want to tell you two that I appreciate God for you two allowing yourselves to be willing vessels to allow God to use you to open a door, especially for young ministers and young pastors, because people ain't opening doors like that right now. And so I just want to say that I am so thankful and appreciative for the platform that you all have given, not only to spread the word, but to help others minister the word.
Yeah.
Amen. So just continue to be blessed. Amen.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Bishop.
Well, Bishop, you know, somewhere down the road, we're looking to have one platform and it'll be a night just for the youth. So we're looking in that direction. We're doing that. It'll be one night just for the youth. You know, you're very timely on that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. As we come, any more comments before we turn it over back over to Pastor Jerry? Any more comments? Hey, Pastor Jerry. You know, again, we want to thank you for coming on with such a powerful word and informative. As the bishop has said, you know, I'm sure that you know, that any time that, you know, you sell out for the Lord, that you're always going to be attacked. You know, so we're going to be praying, you know, for you, over you, you know, that you will continue to walk according to the purpose that God has given or placed in you. We thank you so much for such a powerful word. And one of the things that I would like to put that I would like to glean on is, you know, when you made a comment, is and many people are in church with attention, but no intentions. With their attention in church, but no intention. You know, I thought that was profound. That was a profound word. But thank you so much, you know, for taking the time to come out. We know that you have a lot of things going on, but thank you so much for coming and blessing, you know, the body of Christ. And that's what it's all about. It's not about, someone said, it's not about age. You know, it's not about age. We are a blessing to each other. And when we can come together and become connected, the arm connected with the foot and the leg connected with everything connected together, that's when we operate according to how God has designed us as a body. So thank you so much. Would you like, you know, with the closing prayer, and then we're going to end it.
Well, thank you so much once again, Elder Clay, for inviting me. Minister Herman, I love you. Her name is Boo-Boo, y'all. She told y'all my middle name. I call her Boo-Boo, so y'all. I just dropped in my spirit. I don't know. So I just wanted to share that with y'all as well. No, but seriously, thank you to everybody. The encouragement is just so humbling and just so, it's so filling. It's so filling. Chris just blew my mind. We definitely grew up together. That's my brother.
Yeah, that
was awesome. Every single one of you, Sister Jennifer, Sister Michelle, everybody, Bishop, thank you so much, everyone, for your kind words and for just helping me. It's a hard road being a servant of the Lord, as we all know. When you do it, it's a tough thing. And I just want to encourage somebody tonight to continue this in our day-to-day lives, because we live in a world where everybody treats others the way that they treat them. We change the scripture. We don't treat others the way we want to be treated. We treat them how they treat us. So we just want to change that whole narrative.
Yeah, we
back the same energy that we get, and we like to support those who support us. But that is an opposite law of God's word, y'all. Let's start spreading love again and treat others the way we want to be treated, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for bringing us once again to this place. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord God. Lord, we ask that you continue to be glorified. You continue to be praised in everything that we do, Lord God. Lord, I ask you to bless this ministry right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, bless new beginnings, Lord God, to be the beginning of many people's new beginnings. Bless it to be a place where they come and they find you and you alone in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the vision that has been given. Lord, we thank you for the word that has come forth. And Lord God, we thank you for the things that you are doing that we cannot even see that are taking place right now. Lord, bless every home under the sound of my voice. I speak to the family right now. Let the families come back together. Let nurturing be a part of the family. Let love be at the forefront right now in Jesus' name. Where there is division, we speak unity. Where there is hurt, we speak healing. And where there is pain, we speak peace right now in the name of Jesus. There is none greater than you. The enemy gets no victory and no part of our lives. There is nothing that goes on in this world that affects us, because we are in this world, but we are not of it. So as kingdom servants, as children of God, we stand with the power and authority and unashamed to preach your gospel so that you may be glorified in a time such as this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
God, thank you so much. Remember, we love you, but God who loves you. May God bless you.
I face the dawn.